Sikoli, Scano, Kwe, Wache, Kulamose. And that was Eulali, and that was their cover song, Mak Chi, from their CD, Mak Chi. And it's interesting that Smoke Signals, currently playing at the New Yorker Cinema, 329 Richmond Street, it's going to be on tonight at 7 o'clock, and then tomorrow night at 9:30 p.m., and then on Sunday and Monday at 7 o'clock, and then on Tuesday at 9:30 p.m. It received a rating of 4 out of 5 from Louis Hobson. Louis Hobson is a columnist with the Calgary Sun. And he gave it a 4 out of 5 rating. And so we give it a, you know, if we had a rating system of 5 eagle feathers, I think we'd give it a 5 eagle feathers, because it's it encompasses everything. It tells our story. It really does. It does a fine job. The acting is superb. It's it's very telling that we're the, you know, of the talent and of the creativity, all the ingredients necessary for a supreme production are there in this movie, Smoke Signals. So we wanted to we urge you all to head on down to the New Yorker Cinema. It's only playing till Tuesday, and then it will be leaving the city. So all of our listeners, if you know people out in the outlying communities who may not have the opportunity to hear this broadcast, by all means, please do let them know. Let them know that they only have till Tuesday.
Also, the manager down at the New Yorker is interested in getting you out there. So if you can get a group of 25 people or more to come out, then they'll let you have tickets for $5 each. So give them a call about that.
Yes, Iguach Mary Lou. Oh. And you have another review that on Smoke Signals. Do you want to share that with our listeners?
Okay. Alrighty. This is from Los Angeles. And it says, there's critical acclaim for Smoke Signals, the first major film made by Native Americans about Native Americans. And it's sending a message to Hollywood that there's a talent pool waiting to be tapped. But it's also giving off another signal that maybe it's time to start taking Native American music seriously, too. The soundtrack is one of the most dazzling aspects of the movie, which has been playing in selected cities, and it's already opened. Native American music is on the same boat as Native American film, drifting far from the mainstream. Just out of TVT soundtracks, the Smoke Signals disc just might draw attention to an overlooked genre. Most people don't know anything about our culture and still have a vision of us as we were portrayed in Western movies, gripes novelist Sherman Alexie, who not only co-produced and wrote the Smoke Signals movie, but composed part of the soundtrack and recruited many of the musicians. There's a musical heritage that's more complex and interesting than the simplistic music we've heard in all those old movies. What's called Native American music is either ancient traditional, spare and serene, cloaked in ethereal spirituality and propelled by ritualistic chants, or various forms of pop, which rock, folk, and country, New Age, for instance, that incorporate this music. Though small and underexposed, the Native American music scene is brimming with skilled, adventurous artists such as Robbie Robertson, Bill Miller, Rita Coolidge, Jackie Bird, the Blues Rock Quartet, Indigenous, and arguably the best of all, the remarkable Joanne Shenandoah. The late Buddy Redbow, one of the giants of the genre, recorded an extraordinary 1984 album, Journey to the Spirit World, featuring spine-tingly ballads that fuse country and Native American prayer. But hardly anyone knows about it or about Buddy Redbow, who died a bitter alcoholic. Likewise, too few fans know about Shenandoah, a New Age diva who has recorded for small labels like Canyon and Silverware. All Native artists are working toward getting exposure for our music, says multi-talented Shenandoah, who co-wrote a new Clear Light book, Sky Woman, Legends of the Iroquois. It helps tremendously when something happens that inspires the media to look at the music.
Mary Lou. Yeah, that book, Sky Woman, is available from Clear Light Publishers in Santa Fe, New Mexico. if you want to write down there for your own copy of that book. It's a children's book. And Joanne has also done a CD for children, which she won a Native American Music Award for the best children's album. And she also won the award for the best female vocalist also at this year's Native American Music Awards, the first ever done in the history of award shows. There's never been a Native American award show. And there's never really been a category for Native American music until Elaine Bomberry and Buffy St. Marie got together back in 1993 and had the Juno category, the Juno people, start a category called the Music of Aboriginal Canada. And that hopefully will be broadened into two categories, the one being contemporary music and the other being traditional music, because it's very hard to define what album is better, a contemporary album or a traditional, because they're worlds apart, the two different styles of music. Anyways, I wanted to read to you a story that follows the events that transpired in Restigouche. Restigouche, as most of you are aware, is Mi'kmaq country on the East Coast. And it's by Richard Wagamese. Richard Wagamese is a communicator with the Assembly of First Nations living up in Northern Ontario. And he's written this story, this piece, it's an op-ed piece called New Warriors. Now that the barricades are down in Mi'kmaq country and the inevitable predictions of an Oka-like eruption on the East Coast dismantled with them, all of us can breathe a little easier. Another summer has passed, and the apparent season of unrest in Indian country is over. As we move into the autumn season, we can be grateful that no one died in the Mi'kmaq dispute over logging rights, and none of our people have to endure the indignity of imprisonment. Still, the echoes of hostility, mistrust, and suspicion linger over the land. Where, we wonder, will the next eruption flare? Who will be next to challenge the might of the white over rights we have paid dearly for the opportunity to exercise? For me, after watching images of masked and camouflaged warriors confronting authority in Restigouche and hearing Mohawk warriors state their preparedness to support the Mi'kmaqs, the most pertinent question remaining from this summer is this one. What manner of warrior will emerge to fight the next fight? Because there will definitely be another battle somewhere, another scrape in which the inherent rights of our people are trampled by the assumed rights of capitalists, tunnel-vision politicals, narrow-minded opportunists, or all of the above. Who, I wonder, will step up to protect Aboriginal interests, and what weapons will they bear? According to numerous prophecies across our nations, we live in the days of great change. Mother Earth is growing from the tremendous wounds. She's groaning from the tremendous wounds inflicted on her, and all of nature is in the process of rebelling against the onslaught of technology and a sin called progress. Soon we will all be confronted with the real power of the universe, and our lives will be stressful and hard. If you respect those prophecies and the teachings that lie beneath them, you come to realize that there is a great need for a new kind of warrior to emerge from our circles, because the prophecies say that Indigenous peoples will lead the way to a new harmony, a new balance, and a newer and stronger relationship with all that is. In that light, we need to begin preparing ourselves to fight a new kind of fight and become a new kind of warrior. When nature flexes its muscles and creation braces itself for survival at all cost, the power of men with guns becomes irrelevant. When true might is unmasked and presented, men in fatigues and bandanas become unnecessary. All the floods, droughts, famines, altered seasons, and earthquakes point to a fulfilling of the prophecies. No one can shoot a heat wave, nor can all the barricading in the world prevent a swollen river from running where it wants to run. The weapons we will need to carry as Aboriginal people are spiritual weapons, and the armories where they are stored are our traditions and teachings. This is not to say that in a conflict over the trammeling of our rights that our resistance needs to be limited to placards, chants, and speech-making, because there is still a need to stand strong against oppression. But we also need to begin taking responsibility for passing on the intent of those traditions and teachings to those who have not been graced with them. Honoring the gift of teachings means sharing them, passing them on, spreading their influence like a healing hand across an aching body. At a recent spiritual gathering in Maniwaki, Quebec, I heard elder after elder talk about the need for a sharing of our knowledge. I heard them talk about the need for welcoming everyone to our circle, regardless of color, race, or background. I watched as men, women, and children from every direction on Mother Earth entered sweat lodges together, shared our pipes, and found a common healing. I felt the warmth of hugs offered me by whites, Asians, blacks, and mixed bloods, and found that when my eyes are closed, a hug has no color, and goodwill has no history. The elders spoke about the prophecies and urged all of us to begin training our children to become spiritual warriors. Our greatest gift to the next generation is not an armed victory, but a humble triumph. When we can stand shoulder to shoulder in the face of adversity and not crumble from our traditions and teachings, we have scored that triumph, and we can pass on that strength to our young. Resilience lies within us like a latent gene, and it is that that arms us for the battles ahead and arms our children. Be grateful no one had to die this summer in our defense, and be grateful that we can enter a new season with the knowledge that our warriors are there for us when needed. But be mindful, too, that the prophecies are being fulfilled around us every day, and the new warriors looking up at us with the eyes of innocence need us to teach them how to fight. And so now we will now listen to Murray Porter and a selection from his CD. I'm not sure. Which
one? Well, we're going to do Lunar Drive first and then have Murray Porter to finish off. Because usually we finish off with this song. We never get a chance to hear it, so I thought it'd be nice to hear the whole thing this time. This song is called Crying Looking for You, and it's by Lunar Drive. And it also features Kevin Locke.